Let's begin with a word of prayer. Thank you, God, for 2016. Thank you for this new year and all that it's going to bring us. For the peace, but also for the storms, God, we thank you that we can find you in all these places. And more importantly, you find us in those places. Amen. Good morning. How y'all doing? Can you hear me okay? Is this about the sound okay? Is it all right? Can you hear me? Just nod. Blink if you can hear me, if you're alive. It's all good. So turn to the person to your left or right and tell them your New Year's resolution. If you made a New Year's resolution, turn to the person to your left or right and tell them what your New Year's resolution is. Really quickly. What is your New Year's resolution? Awesome. So, my name is Greg Fummels. It's great to have you here this morning at Holy Trinity. I am on the teaching team here at Holy Trinity. It's really funny because I was standing at the back during worship and someone arrived, whose name will remain nameless, arrived in. And they said, oh, it's worship's almost over. New Year's resolution, arrived at church on time. Fail. I mean, we're like literally 2 days in or 3 days in, and they're already saying they're failing. God bless them. They'll get better. It's all right. Also, great to see everybody here today. I'm slightly disappointed that Scott Evans has arrived, beard and all. This is Scott over here, a good friend of mine. As I was going to tweet today that if a sermon is preached and Scott doesn't tweet it, does it actually make a sound? And I was going to test that theory this morning, but thankfully Scott is here, although maybe he just won't tweet. Maybe that's the idea. What am I saying? I talked about him. He'll tweet it for sure. So I began a few weeks ago when speaking in Holy Trinity here with this quote by Ken Tanner, and I love it, which is this: let us ponder the word speechless. Let us ponder the word being Jesus, come amongst us. Let us ponder the word speechless. But today I want to take it a step further and start looking at what the word looks like when it actually finds a voice. What does the incarnate God look like through Jesus and through you and I? And what does it look like when Jesus is revealed to each one of us in skin and in bones? Today's verses are quite long, but they're good verses. And a lot of times what happens is when we have long verses, we tend to shut off really quickly. We hear the first two or three lines and then we kind of go into this kind of zone, right? Bit of white noise. And at the end, they're like, oh, he stopped, has he? Okay, so I'm going to try to maintain your interest in these verses as we go through them. This is found in John 1, 1-5. And this is in the NIV, this first part, but I'll jump on to the Message paratranslation in the second part. The first part is this, John 1, 1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I love that phrase, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. With and was, in both essence and substance. It's fantastic. Both essence and substance, with and was God. And it goes on, the Message version of John 1, 9-14, the further bits. So you can look at this and you're like, oh, I'm going to zone out about halfway through, right? We're going to have a who of who forever and I'm going to be gone, right? Stay with me, okay? John 1, 9-14. The life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into the light. He was in the world. The world was there through him. And yet the world didn't even notice. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed, and who he said, well, with them, he did something different. He made them to be their true selves, their child of God selves. These are God begotten people. These are not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten. These are God begotten. Each one of you, God begotten. Because the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. And then they say this, they say, we saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory. I love how Eugene Peterson says this. Like Father, like Son. Generous from the inside out. True from the start to finish. So here we have, coming into January, we have the celebration of Jesus being born and everything that comes after that. And they have right before us, the prophetic is being born. It's inhabiting the created Word. The words on a printed page are now skin and bones. I love the idea that the I Am is before all of them. God, the I Am, is before all of them and before all of us. The commentators, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, put it this way, and I love it. I love this quote. He is as personally conscious, talking about Jesus, he is as personally conscious of all that is strictly human as of all that is properly divine. He understands what is strictly human, but also what is properly divine all at once. And our nature in his person is redeemed, is quickened, is ennobled, and transfigured. What great four words. Us in Jesus, we are redeemed, quickened, ennobled, and transfigured. I don't know if you know this about January 1st, but it celebrates a couple different things. One, it's also kind of around the time when Jesus was first circumcised, when he first shed blood on this earth, and also when he was first named in the Jewish tradition of it. Now, obviously, the angel told him the name was Jesus, but at the ceremony, they named him Jesus, and they circumcised him as well. But the more obvious thing that happens on January 1st, kind of as part of our own lives, and we did this at the start of the talk today, is we look at resolutions. We all make these kind of crazy resolutions. We load onto ourselves all these ideas about what we could be this year, what we hope to become this year. Not such a bad thing. But there's pitfalls. And I went to the dictionary, as you tend to do, because I thought, what does resolution actually mean? Does resolution mean something you say you're going to do and then don't do it every single year, habitually? Is that what a resolution is? No, resolution is a firm decision to do something or not to do something. It's the quality of being determined or resolute. I don't know if you know this, but I do a podcast with Scott Evans and with Alan Breen called The Graveyard Shift. We're coming up to our 50th episode in the last couple of years. We love doing it. It's great fun, just kind of commentary on life and faith and what it is to do what we do in this country. And we went through the top 10 resolutions of Time Magazine in our last episode. So have a look at it. You can hear the commentary on it. But I'm going to run through the same exact top 10. And Time Magazine said the most popular resolutions of this year are these 10. See if you named any of these when you talked to each other at the start of the talk. 1, lose weight and get fit. Quit smoking. Learn something new. Eat healthier and diet. Get out of debt and save money. And like, that's possible, right? Spend more time with the family. Boring. No, I'm joking. My family's not even in the country right now, so I'm not one to talk. Travel to new places. Be less stressed. There's nothing like telling you, you must be less stressed to make you less stressed. Volunteer and drink less. I'm assuming that's alcohol, not just like liquids in general. And then on the podcast, we went on to look at the BuzzFeed's resolutions, which we had so much fun doing. And I love the title of these resolutions. The mind-numbingly easy New Year's resolutions for lazy slobs. So not that you are any of those things, but I am all of those things. So if anything, these are just as much for me. So I'm going to go through my top few of them. Go outside sometimes. At some point in 2016, go get that thing you dropped under the bed. I did that yesterday, and I found loads of stuff covered in dust, but I found it. Change your sheets. Right? Pick a new hobby. Do it once. Then forget about it forever. Don't always eat Nutella straight out of the jar. Put it on toast sometimes. My daughter eats it straight out of the jar with her finger. Wash your hair, you're an embarrassment. This is a good one too. Get out of bed after your first alarm just once, just to see what it's like. I'm like, this is my favorite one, though. Think about how great things would be if you just did things. Think about how great it would be if you just did things. Anything. Do something. So we got a resolution. There's a firm decision to do or not to do something. It's a quality of being determined or resolute about something. Yet, if we're honest, resolutions, they become just one of those words. It's easy to be dismissed a resolution these days. We can forget about resolutions very simply. It's kind of like the firm quality of a resolution, I'm resolute, has been diluted beyond any recognition. It kind of disappears. It's just a word that doesn't really exist any longer out there. We say it, but we don't mean it. In my experience, even unfulfilled resolutions, they kind of have a way of, I don't know, becoming this like anchor of guilt in my life. They kind of pull me backwards instead of drive me forward into freedom because I've gotten so used to not following through. Maybe we just need something different. Maybe instead of resolutions, we need to change the one letter, and it means a big difference what the difference one letter makes. Maybe instead of resolutions in our lives, we need more revolutions in our lives. When looking at what a revolution defined as this, a forcible overthrow of a government or social order in favor of a new system. A revolution says, I want a new system in government, society, but I'm wondering, what would it look like to have a revolution in our own lives, to change the system, the way we think about ourselves, the way we think about others, the way we think about God? Seth Godin, one of my favorite authors, says this, that the essence of being human is initiating. The essence of being human is initiating. Not talking about resolutions in a vague concept that we don't follow through on, but a revolution, charging forward and changing something. Because initiating to overthrow your own personal, private, internal governments. You know, what it would be like to initiate to say, I am no longer going to settle for this habit, or settle for this lifestyle, or settle for this grudge that I have, or settle for anything. I want to live my life beyond a flaccid, boring resolution that's just an idea and a concept that keeps me guilty, and move into a place of revolution where I actually change the system of how I think, my own internal government. Because when Jesus came, Jesus did not come as a resolution in our own vernacular, the way we think about resolutions. Jesus came and it was a revolution. Revolution is a verb, while our resolution, the way we understand it, is just a noun. But incarnation was and is humanity's soul's revolution, not a flaccid New Year's Eve resolution. So we saw in today's verses earlier what love looked like when it's revealed in skin and bones. What it looked like to Jesus. To Jesus, living his life that's revealed in skin and bones was about being a light in the darkness, shining a light, his humanity being something that given beyond himself, generous from the inside out, true from the start to finish. That's how Jesus approached life. But what does love revealed in skin and bones look like to us daily? I often hear people quote Jesus. I think Jesus is amazing. Incredible. The person I follow in everything I do. But Jesus was still Jesus. He had that fully God thing, which I don't yet have myself. Although I do have the Holy Spirit, which certainly helps me, although I'm great at ignoring the Holy Spirit. But what does love revealed in skin and bones look like to us daily? My biological father used to say that he was not comfortable in his own skin. He wasn't very comfortable in his own skin, and he didn't know if he actually felt like he was made for this earth. I don't know where on January 3rd, I think today's January 3rd, and I don't know as many people feel like that today. I mean, do you feel like my biological father did, which, like, we're talking about revealing love in our skin and bones, but yet I don't even know if I'm comfortable in my own skin, in my own bones. I don't actually even know who I am today. And maybe we don't need a resolution to drive us forward. Well, maybe we need a really incredible God-imparting revolution in our lives where we turn over the governments and the systems and the structures inside of ourselves and realize who we truly, truly are. It sounds so cheesy, but you guys are loved just as you are. That's a truth. You are loved by God. Richard Rohr, one of my favorite authors, a Franciscan friar and speaker, he has a way with words. And if you had not read any Rohr, I would encourage you to do so. He says this, and I quote, Love is both who you are and who you are becoming. Love is both who you are and who you are becoming. Like a sunflower seed, it becomes its own sunflower. He goes on to say this, and I quote, "This is a fully cooperative effort between God and man and woman, humanity. An infinite God seeks and desires intimacy with the human soul." What? An infinite God desires and seeks intimacy with the human soul. I mean, this kind of intimacy is a revolution inside of you, internally. And it changes absolutely everything. Rohr goes on to say this, quote, "Love becoming love in this unique form called me." This is what God does with us. Love becomes love in this unique form called me, called you. So we're not looking for resolutionaries as such. I don't even know if there's a thing or not. Not on January 3rd. We're looking for revolutionaries. We're looking for people who want to change from the inside out. And when we change from the inside out, things will start to change around us, our friendships, our families, our societies, our workplace. So whether you're in a Syrian village working, you know, in the Bekaa Valley, like the hearts of Lebanon, feeding 15,000 families. I was out there, you know this, a few months ago, and this organization, they read in the Bible that we must love our enemy, and they took it seriously, and they changed their internal systems and structures inside themselves that hated their enemies. And they said, "God, revolutionize what's going on inside of me," and they now feed 15,000 of their quote-unquote enemies every single month. Or people like Rob Bell and Elizabeth Gilbert and others, recently, last week, they raised $1 million for Syrian refugees in 31 hours by leveraging their social media platforms beyond cats playing pianos or beyond cats with slippers on their heads, which are very funny. I do like those cat videos. But they engaged. They moved beyond a resolution, or what we consider a resolution, which is this idea that we're never going to follow through on, and they became revolutionaries. Or you might be like Brother Kevin here in our own streets here, and Brother Martin at the Capuchin Day Center. They feed hundreds and hundreds of the homeless every single week. Or here in our own church, we pack parcels for the women's shelter. Or go home and cut your elderly neighbor's garden for them. Help them out. Cook a meal for someone who needs something. Look for the needs that surround you and meet them. Or whether you're standing up for those on death row like Shane Claiborne is in Philadelphia. My heroes today, this is genuine, my heroes today live incarnate revolutionary lives like Jesus did. And when they do that, they reveal what love looks like in skin and bones. Because that group of people I just mentioned, they are the revolutionaries amongst us. And joking aside, you might not take yourselves very seriously sometimes, and I don't either, but we too are the revolutionaries amongst ourselves. We have the ability to change and to change the things that surround us as well. Because whenever we actively choose to initiate, when we actually choose to dig in and get involved in life's soil, whenever we start to give ourselves away, we create life. But when we're indifferent, atrophy prevails. And muscles and love start to wear away. Atrophy prevails. But you know what? We all have a starting point. And a lot of times people say to me, you know, when you talk about these things, and sometimes they're inspiring, sometimes they're not, but we leave this building, where do we start? How do we even begin this revolution of ourselves and seeing change outside of these walls? And a lot of it is just literally, you know, spending time with one another and spending time with God in silence, in worship, in conversation, challenging one another. But it's also going out there and finding out what you're passionate about. What are you passionate about? Now meet people on that road. We start by looking for the needs that surround us, and we enter into those needs. We actually do something. It's not a resolution like we understand it in our vernacular today. It's a revolution. It's a changing of the way we live our lives. Because being human is about the very amplification of the Creator. It's about becoming who we truly actually are. for all of us, for all of humanity, has the kiss of the Creator upon its skin. Every single one of us touched by God. Finish with this. Our personal revolutions reveal our true selves. Don't let your resolutions that frustrate you at the start of the year define who you are. It's just a word. In the end, it's just an idea that kind of tries to compel us forward and ends up dragging us backwards a lot of times. But your personal revolutions, the things that are really changing inside of you, the way that you're infecting and your way that you are involved with society around you, that's who you really are. I think we just need, there's a, in John 9:14 that says this, and I think we need to remember this and internalize it and let it inhabit who we are. It says this again. He made them, us, to be our true selves, our child of God selves. We are God begotten. You are God begotten, each one of you, brought about by God for God. Love for love. So, knowing all this, what do you want? What do you want in 2016? What do you want in January? What do you want in this first week? What do you want today? What do you really want in life? What's going to be your New Year's revolution today? Let's just close our eyes for maybe 20 seconds. What will be your New Year's revolution today? Father God, I thank you that you are present here amongst us. You see our desires. You know our passions. You understand our hopes and our frustrations. And God, I would ask today that you would give us the courage to carry out these New Year's revolutions as such today, tomorrow, this week. Compel us daily to engage. God, I also ask today that you just help us, give us courage to forgive, to be patient. Help us to empty our pockets, the pockets of our lives for others. God, help us to be like you, generous from the inside out. And I ask as well, Father, you give us the courage, each one of us, to be love revealed in our very skin and bones. Amen. Amen.